And then when we read of the body of Christ, that phrase that Paul uses in different books, in Colossians and Corinthians, he's speaking to one particular local church. And so we can take this as meaning the wider church, but specifically today, I think we need to think of it as the local church here at St. Matt's. But it refers to every church. And Paul, he says, the church which is his, Christ's body, for the sake of his body, which is the church. You are the body of Christ. And then he goes on in Corinthians to say, each one of you, each one of us is a part of it. So who's the you that he's talking about? Well, in Ephesians, it's addressed to the saints, the faithful in Christ Jesus. All of us who believe and trust in Jesus, who ask him into our lives as our Lord and our Saviour to receive forgiveness of our sins and new life, which is on its way to heaven, that's who he means. And so that encompasses us. And then he goes on to say, each one of you. That means every one of us. So it's not just each one of you out there, but every one of us together. And he says that we are a part. And what he means by that is that we're only a part. You see, the body of Christ is all of us together, not just one of us, but all of us. We need to be together. So we are a part, but only a part. But then we are equally a part. In Corinthians, another of Paul's letters, he says, though all its parts are many, they form one body. So all of us together are a part of it, where none of us are the only part, but we're equally together a part. And that means that no one is better than anyone else, but we're all together equally a part of the body. Now, we may be different, but we're all equally important. But then Paul goes on to talk of Christ being the head in verse 15. Is the head that is Christ. In Colossians, he talks of Christ, our Lord Jesus, having supremacy. He is before all things. He, Christ, is the head of the body. In everything, he might have supremacy. He is the Lord. He is the King of kings. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one and only head. That means he does our thinking for us, in the sense of giving us a guidance, a prophetic word, vision. He directs our mission. If you can imagine yourself without your head, people like me, that might be an advantage, I suppose. You know, the mirror goes from there down. We'd be totally dead. And the church, the body of Christ, without Christ as being the head and placed as Lord, is dead. Also talks about him being before all things in Colossians. And in John 1, verses 1 and 2 that we read so often at Christmas and tend to forget a bit at other times, says this: in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He is before all things in time. He was there at creation. In fact, creation was created through him. He is eternal. But it also means that he holds everything together. In him all things hold together, writes Paul. And here in Ephesians, from him the whole body, the church, is joined and held together. So the whole of creation is held together, and the church is held together in the one and only Christ Jesus, the head. So having said all that, what's our place? That was what Chris asked me to speak about. What's our place in the body of Christ? Well, according to verses 1 and 2 that were read for us earlier on, it's to live a life worthy of the calling, to be humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, when I go down to Worthing, I'm going to, I think, write a book. It's going to be the best book ever on humility. I can tell you that. But can you see that the whole point of the body of Christ in that context is to care for one another. That we care for the body. We don't just care for ourselves. We don't even just care for those outside, but we do do that. But we need to care for each other. And St. Matt's are very good at that. Secondly is love, bearing with one another in love. You know, I can't think of anything else that would gather together a group of people, such a diverse group of people as us, without us being saved by Jesus and given his love for one another. It's his love that holds us together. We bear with each other. You know, as Cromwell wrote, warts and all, we know each other as we are, and we love each other in spite of that, because God loves us in spite of that. But it also says speaking the truth in love in verse 15. I've heard people use that as a phrase to criticize people, to bring them down, to undermine them, and that's not what it means. It means we talk to each other about the reality of who we are. Not as a criticism, but to build up, not to break down. And sometimes we need correction. Sometimes we need putting back in the right direction. And if we can't do it amongst ourselves, who can do it? But we have to be careful, because we do it in love. We do it gently. We do it carefully. We ask for God's wisdom and guidance before we open our mouths. I once read that you should put your brain in gear before you open your mouth to speak. And I think we need to put our hearts in gear before we open our mouths to speak. Then in verse 16, Paul goes on and says, builds itself up in love. That's what I'm talking about. We need to build one another up. We need to be encouragers. We need to be one another's strength in times of weakness and difficulty. We need to be one another's shoulder to cry on. We need to be one another's arms to hold and hug in Jesus. In John 15, verse 12, Jesus said in his way, my command is this, love one another, love each other as I have loved you. When we think of how much love we should have for each other, then think of how much love Jesus had for us. And I have to tell you that Mary and I have been so loved in our 9 years that we've been here. You've built us up. You've kept us. When I came to St. Matt's, I was suffering from heart difficulties, weak, run down, unable really to carry on with ministry. And you have built me up. And at the same time, have built Mary up. We minister now because of your love for us, your care for us, and you have done it. Thank you. Paul goes on then to talk about unity. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. You see, God has given us unity. All we have to do is to make sure we keep it. And that takes a bit of effort, especially when things don't go quite right. You know the songs we sing that when things are difficult, we're still going to say that we love the Lord. We're still going to carry on. In those times, we make the effort. And the unity is in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, of Jesus. That's it. We focus on him and everything else begins to fall away. It used to be a lovely chorus that Mary and I used to sing with others when we first became Christians. The things of this world become dim in the light of Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything becomes secondary as we come together in Jesus. So, all of that, care for the body, love, unity, what's the purpose? Well, the purpose is growth. God created everything to grow, including his church. Ephesians 4:12, he talks about being built up. Ephesians 4:13, become mature. Ephesians 4:15, grow up into him. Ephesians 4:16, grows and builds itself up in love. We need to grow, not just in numbers, but in maturity. We need to come closer to Jesus. That's what it's all about. And we help one another along the road. All of that. And yet there's more. Because Paul tells us about work. Ephesians 4:16 says, each part does its work. That's every part, all of us. See, no one retires from ministry. Believe me, I've tried it twice already. And I know that when we go, there's going to be ministry there. All of us have a ministry. Not just the vicar, not just the leadership team, not just the young people's leaders, not just the welcome groups, not just the home group leaders. Every single one of us, not everyone else, but me, each one of us needs to say, as we do our work, it all begins to happen. And as I said before, each of us is equally important. No one's better than anyone else because grace is given as Christ apportioned it. That's what Paul writes here. No one's better than anyone else. We're just given different tasks. We're given different ministries. And that's great because if we all had the same ministry, we'd be like one of those cartoons where everybody is a big ear with just a little feet, surrealism. You've seen those paintings? So Matt's is not like that. But we still need more parts. Some are for the purpose of preparing God's people for their works of service. You see, some of us are called to help others to do their part in the work. And that's what apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers are for, to help us to do our part. Not to do it for us, but to help us to do our part. And when we do that work, then these other things just pour out. And they pour out from among us to the community around us, to creation. And everything changes because of what God does with us. But how? How do I find my place, my task? How do I know what my place, my task is? Three things. Through other Christians. And the emphasis is on other Christians. They are listening to God. It's recognizing other people's, other Christians' gifts and talents, and then recognizing ours and talking to one another about it. See, I've seen people who say, but what can I do? I'm not worth it. And God says, I died for you. You can do this for me. But we need to help one another to recognize it. Secondly, personal experience, using what's happened to us to help others. Or using how God seems to be using me to help others. It may be a small thing. A smile when people come in from a welcome group member. A smile from the person you sit next to. A smile for the person you sit next to. You know, sometimes that week has been so bad. You just want someone to recognize that you're loved, you're cared for. Thirdly, by the leadership. You see, leadership are called to guide. They're called to equip. They're not called to lord it. There's one Lord, Jesus. The leadership team and the DCC serve him by serving us. But we need to listen to them. But most of all, with all of this, there's one thing that undergirds it. Well, three things, actually, that undergird it. Undergirding it all are these three things that we do personally. Prayer for guidance. I need to listen to God because he's the one who knows. He's the one who guides. He's the one who equips. He's the one who apportions grace. He's the one who calls. Secondly, fruit of the Spirit. It's our lifestyle. If you read Galatians chapter 5, Read about the fruit of the Spirit. It's got all sorts of things in it. Love, peace, patience, guidance, gentleness, and all the others I can't remember. When I stand up here and I remember immediately, I go down there. Faithfulness. All of those things. That's what God's planted in us. And we need to grow in it. And then finally, with that prayer for guidance, with the fruit of the Spirit, with listening and lifestyle, then we can use in God's way, His power, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, St. Matt does so much of that. And yet, there's more. We sang, is this all there is? Answer, no. There's so much more. And God has chosen you to do it here. And chosen us to go and do it somewhere else. Each of you is a part of the body of Christ. And all these things happen as we pray, as we live our lifestyle, as we use the power of God to do His work. Let's pray. Lord, so much is here that we haven't even touched on. And yet, we understand the calling that we are part of the body of Christ, that you have a work for each of us to do. However much we feel that we can't, we know that you can in us and through us. So, Lord, help us to pray for guidance, to listen to what you say. Change us, Lord, in our lifestyle with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Empower us to do your work through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, help us to understanding that to each of us you say, I have called you to do my work. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.